Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath to you. Let me say that, first of all, if you haven't seen my name, I'm Ray Thomas. And I'd like to introduce my wife sitting over here, the most beautiful woman in the whole place. Nothing personal, but there she sits. We've been married for 52 years. And just had our 50th anniversary 2 years ago. Boy, I know my math a little bit, not much, but anyway. One thing I want to establish, first of all, I love Jesus. And I pray that you do too. Sounds like it. I love this edifice. It's the first time I've been in here. The last time I was in Aiken was, I don't even really remember how many years it was, but I'd say at least 15, maybe even more, at the other church. And it was a lot harder to find than this one. This one's just right off the interstate, and boom, you're here. I love it. And it's beautiful in here, the atmosphere. You make the atmosphere, and it's beautiful, and I appreciate it. Everyone has welcomed me so beautifully this morning. And I so appreciate that. Let's have a word of prayer to our God. Oh Lord, our amazing God in heaven, you who created this world in 6 days, and on the seventh you rested. You then on the sixth day, you created us, mankind, and you created us in your image. And Lord, what a wonderful God you are. You formed us of the dust of the ground. You didn't speak us into existence. You formed us with your precious hands and made us just like you. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray that today, that we will, at the end of this day, be more like you. We need Jesus, more and more of Jesus. And I thank you, our lovely God, in your holy name. Amen. I really do wish there were words to describe our wonderful God, his love. It is just out of our human ability to be able to relate such a thing. I guess the only way we can do that is to follow footsteps, right? See where he's been, what he's done. Well, we, in the evening, look up and see the galaxies, the stars, and the moon. Wow. I don't know about you, but that really thrills my soul. We were in North Carolina some time back, up in the mountains, and it was just pitch black up there. No lights around anywhere except for up there. And it was almost like I was up there, because they were almost like down here. You know, it was just a beautiful experience. And certainly doesn't end there. You know, there was the incarnation. He came down to this old dark world from his beautiful bright world. That's love, isn't it? And then he came down here for the purpose to die. Plus, he lived with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, you know, and scribes and priests and so forth. Oh, that had to be a chore. That had to be really something. Well, and that's not the end of it. He, like I say, died on the cross, and so then he ascended to heaven, where he's now talking to God for us. You know, he's pleading our case. He is our intercessor. And so he loves us. And it doesn't end there, though. He's promised to come back. Now, if he's done all these other things, what do you think the most amazing thing will be that he is going to do? Come back. He's going to come back and get us. His footprints already prove that he's going to come back. Because of everything that he's done, he's proven that already. I say, praise our God for such a beautiful way of demonstrating his love. But that still falls short, doesn't it? We're going to have to prove to him that we love us, that we love him too. We need to do that. Until then, until the day that he comes back, there's John 3:16. We all know that verse. Let's kind of recite that together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. Did you notice that word believe in there? That's an action word. It's kind of akin to faith and trust, but it's an action word. And he has proven that he loves us, and he wants our heart to prove that we love him. It kind of reminds me of the scripture reading this morning of Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified. Let me just kind of say it in a way that I feel like that maybe Paul would have said it if he had been here this morning. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, when you kind of put feeling and apathy and empathy and sympathy and everything into the reading of God's word, it just comes alive. And so we need to, even when we sit down and have our own personal worship, and I pray that we all do that, have our special time with our God, that we really sink feeling into reading of God's word and let him speak to us. Well, I'd like for us to turn now to the book of Psalm and read there, Psalm chapter 50. And there's a verse there that I'd like to kind of refer to that is very pertinent to my message this morning. Psalm 50, looking at verses 4 through 6. I hope everyone has that. It starts out, he shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Covenant by sacrifice. That is a relationship with God. He wants us to have a relationship with him. It's also, you're putting Galatians along with Psalm together, what we've read this morning. It is a relationship of love. It's asking God to take us, all of us, not just a little bit, One more thought in regard to that is in Luke chapter 9. I'd like for you to turn to there with me, if you would. Luke chapter 9, looking at verse 23 and 24. We will be using scripture this morning. I want you to be aware of that. So keep your handy close. Keep your Bible close handy. Starts out in verse 23. Then he said to them, all, not to just one or two, but all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So, dying daily, covenant by sacrifice, surrendering our all to Jesus. This is the relationship that our God wants with us. Surrendering all. Have you ever thought of that? Just think of it in your own mind right now. Don't relate it to me or to anyone else. But what is it in your life? I've certainly thought about that for me, that maybe you haven't surrendered to God yet. Maybe that's keeping a little bit apart. God wants all of our life. He wants all of our heart. I'd say he deserves it. He wants it because he loves us. And he wants to spend all of eternity with us. Well, God wants us to make a covenant with him and to be fully his. And you know what? No matter what happens after that, anything can happen after that. If we have Jesus in our heart, no matter what the trouble, no matter what the storm of life may be, we have a Jesus that walks on water, don't we? You know what? He calmed the ocean, the angry waves and the wind. And I'd say he was very powerful because, first of all, he made the water and he made the air. And so he knows how to control all these things, and he knows how to control our life. Storms are very, very frightening sometimes. I'm sure that we have been in, say, a thunderstorm, even a thunderstorm. Wow, the thunder, the lightning, the heavy rain. It makes you want to look out and see what's going on. And it also, if it's really bad, makes you want to say, I want to go to some place where it's safe. Well, you know, there are other storms too, like hurricanes and tornadoes. And those are places that we really want to seek shelter. Really hard times. Well, the National Weather Service has told us that there are places that we can go where we'd be safe. Like in a bathtub, curled up in a bathtub. Well, I know that there are families that are more than just maybe one or two, so that we need to seek shelter, otherwise kind of pile up there and it wouldn't be very comfortable. It may be dangerous too. But a closet, something in toward the center of the house where there's a lot of walls protecting us. And also, if you're outside, there need to get as low as possible, like in a ditch or in a ravine, someplace low. I'd like to share a story with you about my sister. It's been a couple of years ago now, maybe three, something like that. And they had heard on the news that there was tornadoes possibly in the area. So they thought they'd just look out and see what was going on. And lo and behold, they heard this roar. You know, you've heard it sounds like a freight train. Well, there is definitely a roar to it. And they looked up, and there was a funnel, actually a funnel right over their head. Well, they started praying immediately and ran into their washroom and covered over with a mattress. And that was the best place they could find to be as close to the center of their house as possible. Well, as it turns out, the tornado did come down, but about a quarter of a mile further away from their house. And boy, that thing was destructive. It tore up stores, businesses, hotels. They live fairly close to the interstate, so there's hotels close by and restaurants. Tore up all that stuff and went on down and went into residential areas. And I think it went probably a couple of miles on across the terrain over the hill. It's in Ringgold, Georgia, and so it's a little bit hilly through there. And so it tore down trees, and the trees it didn't tear down, it stripped them. It was a bad tornado. And I'm sure it didn't hit them because they prayed. The Lord protected them. So, where in the world can we go where it will be safer even than that, do you suppose? Safer even than a closet or a bathtub or... Let's go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And I know we're all familiar with this psalm. Years ago, I memorized this chapter, but I couldn't repeat it now for anything. You know, that's been probably 15 years ago, but it's still familiar and very, very lovely the way it was written and all. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. By the way, this is the New King James Version. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays at noonday, that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. What a promise. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Now, these last few verses here, the last three verses, it sounds to me like it's actually God doing the talking. And so that's the way, to me, it is. It's talking just like it's Him. Because He has set His love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him from the and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a God we serve. What a beautiful God we serve. There are, just as there are many different types of storms, there are quite a number of different ways that we can go through hard times. And I'm saying that there are storms in our life, personal storms. And some of those can be maybe not quite so bad, like the losing of an important document. You put it in a safe place, trying to remember it. I've done that, have you? I have, you know, very important things. I'm not going to forget it here. And then maybe a couple of 3 weeks or so later, where in the world did I put that thing? And then maybe when you trip and fall and skin yourself up really good, that's kind of a trial. And then you're maybe on your way to a doctor's appointment or work or some sort of a time that you have to be there, and you run out to the car, then it won't start. Now that's a trial, isn't it? That's something we really can go through. But then there's some more, a little more catastrophic than that, like the death of a loved one. That's definitely more catastrophic. Maybe some big financial loss in the family. Really a hard time from that. And then maybe a career derailment. All these can be really tough. But there's one area that I haven't really covered yet in that regard, and that is the things that are right and wrong, such as problems we may have in our character. Things like lying, stealing, adultery. These things are trials and tribulations. And if they are when you give your life to Jesus. But see, we have our past life. And when we give our life to Jesus, we become new creatures, don't we? He's told us that in 2 Corinthians. We become new creatures. And so there is that struggle that is we often see, like in Romans chapter 7, where the things that I want to do, I can't, and the things I can't do, I want to do, and so on. So life is a struggle. We have Jesus there to come and help us. He wants to help us. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." By the grace of God, these conflicts can strengthen us. Conflicts, really, if met with Jesus, are stepping stones to the kingdom. Each victory is a stepping stone. Every time we come to victory, Jesus brings us closer to him, and it's beautiful. He gives us strength to overcome. And I'd like to have us go now to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. And it's taken me a moment to get there. It says there, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and for salvation, ready to be revealed the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Did you hear that? In this greatly rejoice. Now let's see why. Though for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's not a foolish thing or an issue that is not important. It is important that we go through trials. We need to go through trials. In fact, Revelation 3:18 says that I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's talking about us Laodiceans. And so that's each one of us. We need to buy gold tried in the fire. And of course, there's that big time of trouble at the end of the world. Like never has been before, nor shall be afterward. This is a tremendous time that we need Jesus more than ever before. Have you noticed that when a man or a woman, whichever, starts weightlifting, they can't lift 200 pounds to start with. They may start out with 50 pounds. And they keep going until finally they can make 200 pounds. Well, that's the way it is with our experience with Jesus. We start out as babes in Jesus, drinking, as it were, the milk of the Word. And then we get into the real meat of the Word. And we become stronger and stronger, becoming more and more like Jesus every day, Him giving us strength to get through these trials. And every trial we get through gives us more and more strength to get through that final time of trouble. Praise the Lord. He has a plan for us. And He doesn't mind sharing it, that's for sure. He wants to. So when we have Jesus, we have hope. And when we have Jesus, we have God's strength. And when we have Jesus, we have no fear. So we have everything but fear. All right, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. What a promise. The Lord is our helper, and we don't need to fear what man can do to us. Let's read several verses now, starting out with 1 Peter chapter 4. We're close by there, so just turn a few pages over. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And 13 also. Beloved, Do not think it strange concerning the fire trial, which shall try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, and that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. You know, it says over there in the book of Hebrews. Well, no, actually, I'm thinking of the wrong verse. In Jude chapter verse 24, it says that God has joy in his heart to take us to heaven, for us to give our life to him, to be his. It gives him joy. And then it gives us joy when we have him in our heart. So it's a relationship. Okay, let's turn to another verse in John 16. John chapter 16. Verse 33. And Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So he's telling us, to live here in this world, we're going to have tribulation. You just can't get out of it. That's what sin is all about, isn't it? We will have tribulation. Okay, now let's turn over to the book of Acts. Chapter 14. Looking at verse 22. I love to hear your pages turn. That's beautiful. Okay, verse 22 says, "Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God." Again, the word of God agreeing with itself at different times. It's a great promise that God will be with us during these tribulations. All right, let's read another verse now. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy, even worthy, to be compared with a glory that shall be revealed in us." You know, when we get to heaven, I just love to sit and think about what it's going to be like there. Boy, do I fall short every time, I know. But it is fun to play like I'm in heaven in my mind. It's a gift that will eternal. Let me just share a little bit of a thing that I have thought of that is a comparison of what eternity is all about. If you could possibly take every raindrop that's ever fallen on the face of this earth. That's impossible, of course. But I'm sure God knows just how many, but it's happening constantly. But if we just knew what that number was, I'm sure it would probably reach around the world. And multiply that times itself again. Then over and over and over and over and over, that's eternity. We can't comprehend it. Even then, we'll be just beginning. Hard to conceive of, isn't it? Hard to think about. Well, Just think about being there. We don't need to really try to comprehend just how long eternity will be. Just to be able to be there will be the good thing. Okay, let's have, I think that was the last verse I had there. All right, let's, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you have any idea what the purpose for the great time of trouble is all about? Why we have to go through that? Have you ever thought of that? Why would we need to do that? Everyone's going to have to that's alive. But you remember now in Psalm 91, it says not one plague is going to come near you. So the Lord's going to take care of us. But why do we still have to go through that time of trouble? And it won't be a greasy thing, so we just slide right through. But, you know, at the same time, there will be trouble. Let me kind of give you an example. When I was in the military back in 1968 to 70, I was at Fort Jackson, and we had to go in on the day of reception, and they'd call your name, and they'd give you your clothes and whatever else equipment that you needed, and then they would take you out and give you drills and march you and send you through all kinds of obstacles and make you get out and run and all kinds of exercises, get you into shape. Well, you know, when I was in there was all kinds of guys in there. There were some that were mother's boys, you might say. Some that they didn't really want to be there. In fact, there was one guy that actually got on the floor and was kicking like a little child having a fit. And he was calling for his mother. And then there are others everywhere in between there that are very well adjusted and able to be trained easily. But the whole purpose for military training is to change that raw recruit into a soldier that's able to protect our country. Well, that's the way it is with God's army. We need to go through, as it were, the army training, isn't it? It's God's army. And so we are now, presently, in training in God's army. And one day, we're going to have to enter into the gates of the city. I said that like it was bad, didn't I? I didn't mean it that way. One day we're going to enter into the gates of the city, and we will have been trained at that time to live with a God throughout all eternity, an eternal God, perfect in every way. But we just have to do that. Brothers and sisters, eternity is upon us, isn't it? We need to make full confession. We need to make a decision for God for real. For real. The time for, and I don't know you folks, so I can say this, to stop playing church. Maybe there's none in here like that. I hope that's true. I hope none of us in here just play church. In other words, come to church on Sabbath morning, then go home and live your life like the world. Or even have a segment of your life like the world. God wants us all of us. Every day of Jesus' life, was a storm, putting up with all those people like he did. But he left us an example. And he wants us to follow that example because it's a good example. It's a true example. We can follow it and be thoroughly satisfied. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Yes, we are going through a great controversy, a big battle between good and evil, and you and I are caught right in the very middle of it. There are two battlefields. One that the Lord is the general of. And the other one, I guess we just kind of try to fight our battles by ourselves. Or the battle would not even become a battle. It'd just be a way of life without Jesus. So which will it be? Which will it be? Letting Jesus fight your battles for you? Or will it be your own battleground? I'd like for us to make a new commitment this morning. I'd like for us to stand to our feet just now. And if you have your desire is to follow Jesus anew, if you want him to live in your heart, if you want Jesus to have full possession of your heart, I'd like for you to come forward right here and let's have prayer. God is a loving God. It's amazing how loving he is. I wish there was a way to describe it. I wish there was. Only way we can know is see how he's worked for us to get us through to his kingdom. Bless y'all's heart. I appreciate every one of you. This is real special. I am going to give you, in just a moment, time to pray by yourself, for yourself, and for your family. And then I will end it with the Lord's Prayer. But I'm going to pray first, and then when I pause, then you have your prayer. Then we'll have, at the end, the closing psalm. Dear Lord in heaven, here we stand before you. We stand before you, our great God. You who created this world in 6 days, and you formed us of the dust of the ground and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. Then you lost us for a little while, but then you purchased us back. We need Jesus. Without Jesus, we would be hopeless. It would be nothing. For we know that your love is sustaining. And we just pray that this day, this beautiful Sabbath day, not just because the sun is shining outside, but because the sun is shining in our heart. Jesus, shining forth from within. I pray that you will bless each person who has come forward, Lord. Touch each life. And may we shine forth the love of Jesus to those around us. We know that you're coming soon, and we just pray that others will have you in their heart because of us when you do come. Again, we need more Jesus. Oh Lord, more and more Jesus. And I thank you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, I appreciate each one of you. God bless you. Loving God in heaven, it's with joy in our heart that you are our God. Thank you for that. And we praise your name for that. Dismiss us now with your blessing. But Lord, just from this place of worship, but don't dismiss us from your heart ever. Hang on to us tight as we go through these trials in life. May your name be honored and glorified every day as a result of our life. And we thank you and praise you for it all. In your holy name I pray. Amen.